Hi everyone, welcome
Hello.
to this session. I'm Ming Xu and I'm here with my colleague.
Hi, I'm Yidi.
And today we're going to spend some time talk about the HPC Server 2008 R2 SOA system. Let's spend some time to talk about the goals for the R2 SOA system. And we've used the word aim to actually summarize the three areas of focuses. First of all, we'd like to improve the application programmability. And secondly, we'd like to enhance the infrastructure. And finally, we'd like to improve the manageability of the SOA system. Now, on the application programmability, we would like to support the fire and the recollect scenario so that the user can submit the calculation requests, exit the program, and come back and retrieve the results at a later time. We also like to provide better Java interop support so that legacy applications that are developed on other systems like Linux can connect to a Windows server system and use the services running on a Windows cluster. We also like to add service finalization logic so that when services perform a shutdown and can do so in a graceful fashion. Finally, we provided improved error handling so that common errors like communication errors can be handled while the program is sending the requests. Now onto the infrastructure enhancement. In the R2 version, we provided the message persistence so that when system goes down, in the case of hardware failure, the messages are persisted. So when the system do come back to function, the processing can be resumed from where they left off. And in so doing, we also provided the broker failover so that when the broker goes down and in an unintended situation, the broker can be failed over to a healthy node so that the system can perform in a non-stop processing mode. Finally, onto the manageability. With the R2 release, it is a lot easier to set up, to configure, and to monitor the service when they are running. And we also provided more effective environmental diagnostic tests for some of the commonly known problems. And then we also support efficient and correlated tracing. So we're going to drill into each of these three areas. Let's start with the application programmability. So what we thought it would be useful is to actually compare and contrast with the V2, the HPC Server 2008 programming model. So what you're seeing here is the first step of a SOA application, that is to create a session. The code on top shows you how to create a session in HPC Server 2008. And the one on the bottom is the one you use to create a session on using 2008 R2 version. Now, one thing I have to say before going further is that with the R2 version, we support both models. So the R2 version should be viewed as an addition as opposed to replacement of the HPC Server 2008 model. So let's look at what we're doing with R2 is that in addition to allowing you creating an interactive session, we also allow you to create a durable session. And that is useful for if you would like to support the fire and recollect scenario. So you go ahead and create the session start info and then say durable session.create session, and that will give you a session. The next step is to create a client proxy. And with the client proxy, you can actually access the remote services as if they are local objects. So in V2, in the HPC Server 2008 version, you basically say service one client. Service one is the actual class, service class that implements the service interface. And by passing it into the constructor, the binding and the endpoint reference. Now with the R2 version, we actually support in our API the broker client. So you construct a broker client by passing into the service interface, iService1, and the constructor takes session and the binding as the parameter. Now, onto the main piece of the code, which is to send requests and receive responses. Now, with HPC Server 2008, you need to use asynchronous requests, asynchronous method invocation, and callbacks to get results. Most of you are very familiar with the idioms here, so I'm going to focus on what you do in R2. Now, with R2, you can actually say client.send requests, and then by passing into the send request call a constructor of the message. So in addition to the parameter of the service call, you can also optionally pass into a user data. The user data is used for when corresponding, when you receive a response, and the user data is used for as a correlator for the requests. So in this particular example, we iterate through 10,000 iterations, send 10,000 requests, and then we say client.endRequests to indicate to the system that I'm done sending. Then I'm going into a for loop. In the for loop, I will call client.getResponses, and that will return a collection of responses. Then I would say getResults, and this will actually return to me the responses of the service call, and then I'm going to say receive the response from request. The first parameter is the actual user data that I pass into the send request call, which is the I here, and then followed by the second parameter, which is the reply. Now, as you can see, first of all, the code is a lot concise when you compare to the HPC Server 2008 version. Now, here's a list of benefits that I like to sort of call out. First of all, you do not have to do the counters and to synchronize between the main and the callback threads. In fact, you're doing the send requests and get responses within the same thread. With the collections returned by get responses, you can actually do link queries against them. Again, callbacks is optional. You can actually say set response handler to actually enable callback processing. The final thing is, if you're using HTTP binding, as you know, in HPC Server 2008, you will have to, the client application would have to, you know, create 10,000 or thousands of threads to actually fire these calls simultaneously, and that actually create some complexity for the application programmer. And where this, in this case, you do not have to do that anymore. Simply do those 10,000 requests within the same threads. So, onto the main piece of this new programming model is that now with the new programming model, the main application can submit a set of requests and exit. Then the same application can restart, and after starting, it can attach to the same session by providing the session ID. And then it will be able to attach the session ID and then create a broker client off of that session, and then it will go ahead and retrieve the responses. My colleague Yiding will be able to do a demo that shows how we can use this to enable find and recollect scenario. With that, I'm going to move on to the second piece, which is the application infrastructure improvement. The key improvement we provided is the broker failover capability. So as you're seeing here in this diagram, you're seeing that the head node is a clustered environment. We also cluster the broker nodes. So what you're seeing here in the middle of the picture is that a client can be talking to a set of broker nodes. And the broker node failover clustering can be set up with M active broker nodes and N passive broker nodes. The active broker nodes will be the one that's receiving the responses simultaneously. And so hanging off of these broken nodes are a set of shared disks. So in this particular case, we have one MSMQ disk per broken node. MSMQ is used for storing and retrieve messages, and that's the core component that we use for enabling message persistency. So in this particular case, let's say if one of the broken nodes goes down, and then the other broken nodes will be notified, and this broken node will be able to take over the messages stored in the first broken node's MSMQ disk and resume from where they left off. And in doing so, enables non-stop processing. So now I'm moving to the manageability. I'm going to have my colleague Yiding talk about the new things that we've built into the manageability.
Thank you, Ming.
Hello, everyone. So yes, since we released Windows HPC Server in 2008 and working with our customers, we just realized that we have something, in fact, a couple of things to improve on the manageability side. So here is a list on what we have changed or improved in HPC Server 2008 and R2. Okay, the first thing is setup. So before in the 2008, the broken node is not a first class citizen in the HPC cluster. User need to extra installation and setup after the whole class setup. We change that in the R2 release so that when user install a cluster, he can use SOAR session directly without doing anything. The broker setup is just built-in. Also, now the broker is a first class citizen, all the node template and the Windows deployment works with the broker node. The other thing is about configuration. So in 2008, to enable or change some configuration for a SOAR session, the admin need to go to multiple places and edit multiple files. It's always a problem for them. So we decided to change this and change this in our R2 release. Now in the R2 beta 1 version, the administrator can just go to one configuration file and have all the configuration settings there. On monitoring side, we used to have two jobs, one broken, one service for each session, and we don't have a good GUI to display the progress and to monitor SOAR session. So what we do in R2 is that we refactor our brokers. There is only one SOAR job, which is much easier and less confusing for end user. Also, with the new enhanced admin console and job console, there is an integrated progress bar in the job list view, so user can have a quick check on the current SOAR session progress. And we have enhanced the job dialog with the SOAR session pane with detailed message progress, which I'm going to show you later in the demo. On the diagnostic side, we have provided two diagnostic in 2008, HPC Server 2008. It's helping the administrator on certain aspects, but we learned that there's a couple of things we have missed. So in 2008 R2, we have improved our environment check diagnostic test based on customer feedback to include some critical and important things like the operating system version, the CRR version, the MSVC runtime version, and some other common problems into the diagnostic. So on the tracing, as I just mentioned, in configuration side, admin need to go to different computer and files to do the configuration, and most of that is to enable the tracing and change the tracing level. So we not only enable a single point of configuration of the file, we also enhanced our admin console and add a new service pane to configure all those tracing configuration. So now administrator can just go directly to the service node, do some click and enable the trace or change trace level. Also, we have improved our internal trace schema and data so that with the service service trace viewer, user can have a better view or better correlate between all those WCF related trace message and our HPC SOAR trace message. Yeah, that's all for the management part.
Me.
Okay. So Yiding, why don't you give us a demo?
Sure.
Of what we built in R2.
Okay. Just hang on a minute. Okay. So what we see here is a normal HPC class manager, as you may have seen before. So in this just a short introduction on our environment, we got four nodes here, one broker node and three computer node. So we can switch to heat map again. Now coming back to our primary client, what you see here is a VSTO object. It's a Visual Studio object, but working as office add-on. And now, what if I press F5 and run the project directly? Okay, so what you see is actually Office Workbook running in Office in Excel 2007. So basically, it's an Asian option pricing model using the Excel as a front end. So what's happening here is that if I press the Submit button here, it is going to create a SOA session, a durable SOA session on the client, and you can see they just send all the requests to the cluster. So if we switch back to our class manager, you will see that there's a bunch of calculation going on node, and the heat map indicates that all three computer nodes are used for the calculation. So if we switch to the job console, you will see that there is a running SOA job. Please note that there's only one job now named the Asian Option Service. So if we click the job dialog, you will see that there is a detailed session progress pane in the job dialog with all the detailed message progress. Okay, and if we come back to the job list, so you can see there's integrated job progress bar, and after a while you will see that the job go to 100%, which means the session is done. And here, if we come back to this Excel sheet again, we can click the retrieve button, and you'll see that all the data is coming back actually from the cluster. Okay, so here is just a normal session. You might ask, what's new in on the durable session part? We provided in HPC R2. That in fact we can do another round of grant. So in this case, the same workbook. If I click the submit, we'll see all the session created and all the requests is gone. Go, and in this case, I can actually close the workbook. Imagine that you are an end user with this workbook. After sending your request in a couple of seconds, you can just close your laptop and disconnect and go have lunch or something. And coming back and take a look at the job's session progress. In fact, you will see a detailed progress dialog. No failed requests. Got a bunch of requests here. And if you press refresh, you will see all the counters are actually changing and increasing. Okay. Yeah. So suppose it's done now. We can come back and relaunch our Excel client. And we can click retrieve and see all the results coming back after you reconnect to the SOA cluster. Okay.
I show the diagrams. I think there
are
the diagrams.
Sure. So the one good thing about the Excel is that there's so much built-in data graphs and a good UI client that you can just easily insert, like this one. I just insert this data diagram from our new ribbon and add all the data results in the sheet 2, and it's just there's no more program that you need to do.
So what we are showing there in the diagram, what are we showing?
Oh, in the diagram?
Mm-hmm.
In the diagram is the is actually the min-max value of this Asian pricing. Mm-hmm. You can see that we are changing the interesting rate as one parameter of the pricing algorithm from 1.0 to 1.09, and according to different interest rates, the pricing result will be different. So here is actually a data graph that's showing what the difference the different result when the interest rate changes on the market. Okay,
cool. Very cool.
Gonna show
Thank
some
you.
Code here.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, with the VSTO project, you can just click the button here, so it's async caller, but nonetheless, it's the same. If we go to the submit request part, you can see that we are just using the durable session, create session part. After getting the session, we create a client, and with all those loops processing the Excel stuff, the core piece is the send request one, just as my colleague Yumin just introduced. So after sending all the requests, basically just do an end request here, saying that I'm done with this client, and go calculate that one. And what's happening with the retrieve part again? So with the function retrieve request here, the code is doing the same thing by creating a session by attached to the session we just created, create a client on that session and calling the get response part. So the good thing here is that our get response provide a numerator, so it provide beautiful for each loop as for user to easily get and process all the result.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, after that you close session and close client.
Actually, one question: where does the session ID comes into?
Oh,
here?
Okay, sure. If you go back to this Excel sheet, there's one trick I'm doing that. If when you are starting the session, and click the session, submit the session, say I record the session ID in the Excel sheet.
I see.
Yeah, sure. So when we come back and close the session, let's go to the code here. So actually, we are creating a session attaching for from the cell value in this Excel sheet.
I see.
And create a new session attached session. Object, so to use that.
So D20 has the session ID in it?
Yes, yes.
That's
if you
great.
Know any Excel programming.
That's cool.
Okay.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Yiding.
Thank you.
So just a quick summary of what we've shown you. We've shown you three areas of improvement in the R2 release. One on application, so we've supported find and recollect type of programming model that allows your application to submit requests, exit, and come back again to retrieve the results. We've also shown you the architecture of the new broker so that we have active and passive broker clustering set up so that your application will be able to enjoy the non-stop processing capability. Finally, we've shown you a set of manageability improvement so that the admin will find it a lot easier to set up, to monitor, to configure, to troubleshoot, and to trace the services. And thank you very much.
Thank you.